guys, this is James.
And use guys, this is Couch Potato Mike here for the Survival Punk podcast at survivalpunk.com. This episode brought to you by the good folks over at jmbullion.com, where you can get all your precious metals, your gold, your silver, all the currency of the new millennium. It's always a good investment. Click on the banner on the right-hand side of survivalpunk.com and start making wise investments today.
Yes. And JM Bullion, free shipping, best price on the internet, and are the only people that I work with. I had this morning another bullion company online email me about doing advertising on the website.
Nope, conflict of interest.
Conflict of interest, yeah. JM Bullion, you get my business. They do not. So they have, JM Bullion has my personal stamp of approval. That's... I know people that have bought from JM Bullion and had excellent service. So Survival Punk stamp.
This episode also brought to you by CampingSurvival.com.
The place for all your bug-in or bug-out needs. Everything from fish antibiotics to the survival life straw so you can drink contaminated cow poop water and live the tale of the tale. With free shipping on a lot of stuff and some good sales going on.
Just find it on the banner of the Survival Punk Podcast on the right-hand side. I mean, survivalpunk.com, not the Survival Punk Podcast. That's over on the left. And while you're over there, click on the little spot that's marked for Mai Tai Exotic Asian Coffee.
Yes. Great, great coffee. My personal favorite is still the espresso roast, followed very quickly by the pumpkin spice, which is the best pumpkin spice coffee I've ever had. Fine roasted, grown in Thailand, which is apparently an amazing place to grow coffee beans.
Where it helps the local indigenous people there.
Through multiple ways. The people that work the farms there get paid a fair trade wage so they can support their families, and a portion of the proceeds from the sale of Mai Tai coffees goes to local charities to help kids get schooling, housing, and medical attention.
Yeah, so you guys listening out there, go over to the survivalpunk.com and click on the banner on the right-hand side, where you will also find the good people over at wellfoodco.com.
Home of the Carne Bar, the Paleo MRE, all grass-fed organic ingredients made by John Wellborn and his wife. The Carne Bar's also made with author Rob Wolf. I was going to say New York Times bestseller author Rob Wolf.
Where you can find delicious sweets and chocolates made out of insects to frighten the hell out of your daughter with.
No insects here. That's a different company.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, yeah, that's Exo Bars.
Yeah, screw those guys.
Well Food Co., great non-insect-based foods. Your wife was familiar with the Paleo MRE because she devoured it when I let her try it.
Yep, so find, if you want a Paleo MRE or any of those other goodies, find Well Food Co. on the banner on the right-hand side, survivalpunk.com. How are you doing this week?
Great. I was awoke this morning by knocking on my door.
You arose because you heard such a clatter?
Yes. No one ever knocks on my door. I am in the middle of nowhere.
Who is knocking on your door?
Smitty. Apparently he sent me a message at like 3 in the morning asking if I was going to be there this morning, and that he was thinking about coming over. Well, obviously, I'm not awake at 3 in the morning, so I didn't see his message.
Who sends a message at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Him, apparently, because he couldn't sleep. But before noon, we had the water lines that we ran connected into the spring-fed water of the neighbors and ran over there, and I now have a frost-free spigot. Actually, spigot. Installed. So I have spring water in my front yard. So instead of coming over here filling up water bottles, I now just have to take about 10 steps out my door and get fresh spring water.
When are you going to install the lemonade spigot?
Next Tuesday.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Everybody needs a lemonade spigot.
Awesome. What do we got coming up today?
We're not telling you.
Right, we are not telling you this time. We're doing things a little, free form, a little free flow, kind of-ish.
But we are going to be talking about some shit that's just pissing me off.
Yeah, today's going to be sort of a ranting, gripey. I usually don't do too much news. This time, I guess I'm just in a newsy mood, and
it's time to remind you, use guys out there, why a punk is part of the title of Survival Punk.
Yeah, I've got I've just got a news story that pissed me off, and then I had some fun on the Survival Punk Facebook page with some news, and we'll go ahead and we'll jump right into the first news story of the day.
Michael No More.
Yeah, good one.
Not talking about me. We're talking about a fat, loudmouth bastard that has no business being on anybody's television in anybody's movie theater, but just has to stick his 2 cents where nobody fucking wants it, and that's on this planet.
Yes. This news story comes from controversialtimes.com. I saw it on Facebook, and I shared it on Facebook, and every one of the people that are my fans saw it, all 2,000 of them.
Though we're talking about Michael Moore, that's Jabba the Hutt. Oh, wait, that is Michael Moore.
That's funny. I found a picture of them. Separated at birth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, he's lost weight. Looks like he's down to about 700 pounds.
Yeah. Michael Moore calls snipers cowards.
Oh, my God.
Michael Moore lashed out at American sniper Chris Kyle and all United States snipers yesterday, calling them cowards and praising insurgent gunmen as brave for fighting American invaders.
Stop right there. Praising insurgent gunmen. And this cocksucker has the balls to call himself an American.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, there's such a thing as, I mean, he's trying to piss off people that he can't see coming, for one thing.
That's true.
Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, but go ahead.
Using Twitter, since he's unwilling to say these things anywhere a veteran might be, the sicko director said.
My uncle was killed by a sniper in World War II. We were taught snipers were cowards. We'll shoot you in the back. Snipers aren't heroes, and invaders are worse.
I'd just like to point out, in his tweet, he did use the word you and the word R for you and R.
Yeah, no, those aren't words. Those are letters.
Yeah, the letters.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Which I despise. And that was a good impersonation of him. Insulting the memory of an American hero and the service of thousands of other American snipers wasn't enough for Moore. He had to tell insurgents who kill Americans brave when he said,
"But if you're on the roof of your home defending it from invaders who've come 7K miles, you are not a sniper. You are brave. You are a neighbor."
Yeah. So I just like to point out the hypocrisy there, that he thinks sniping is cowardice, but he thinks that the insurgents are brave and we are cowards.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Kate Pavlik, like all sane, thoughtful Americans, took offense at Moore's words, and she decided to respond on Twitter saying,
"Chris Kyle was a sniper, so you could spew vile, untrue, pathetic words like that at M.M. Flint. You're welcome. You should be saying thank you. You are a coward. You wouldn't dare say those words directly to any U.S. sniper. You hide behind a computer screen. Hashtag American Sniper."
Yep.
Sorry, I don't do women voices.
Yeah. So, yeah. before we jump into the rant that is forthcoming, I put this on Facebook.
I've actually been in this rant since I'm about halfway home. Yeah.
I share this on Facebook. Normally, my things are seen by about 1 to 200 people, maybe, on a good day. Because Facebook limits the way you see, algorithms, whatnot. this post, when I checked earlier today, was seen by over 2,000 people. With like 17, 18 comments. And I didn't notice, it didn't send me a notification, but I received a message on the Survival Punk fan page from a fan, and the message says,
"Oh, please read this.
Hey, Survival Punk, something about this post, the Michael Moore one, where I called him a dumb motherfucker, by the way."
Well, he is a dumb motherfucker.
He's a dumb motherfucker.
I mean, call a spade a spade.
"Hey, Survival Punk, something about this post bothers me, and I'd rather not see it on Facebook. Would you please take it down?
Would you please kiss my ass?"
Yes.
Hashtag suck a bowl of dicks. Yes. I'm sorry.
Yes. One, I'm not going to remove anything, because that's the way I feel, and if you don't like it, then you can eat a bowl of dicks.
Yeah. So, eat a big, greasy bowl of dicks.
Yeah. So there's that.
Why is he offended by that? You called him a dumb motherfucker. He said a really dumb motherfucking thing.
I can only assume that he agrees with me, and he's not supporting Michael Moore, But he just doesn't like language. Which, I am the survival punk. If you like my fan page, I assume you're not a Nancy boy.
No.
And if you are, then you can unlike me. Because there's 7 more that aren't Nancy boys that will like me.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to cater to everyone here. You either like me or you don't. If you don't, you can go fuck yourself.
Now there are...
And Michael Moore can go fuck himself.
Yeah, I mean, there are people out there who'll fucking throw the First Amendment in your face and say, we have freedom of speech in this country and he has a right to say whatever he wants. Well, guess what? That fucking First Amendment also give me the right to say whatever the fuck I want. And I say, he needs to shut his fucking mouth. Snipers are not fucking cowards. They are specially well-trained in a single skill. Yeah. They face the fucking action. They're not fucking hidden. They're up high because they're out there saving the lives of other Americans. Okay? Other Americans who would otherwise get shot in the fucking back by not just fucking terrorists, by anybody who fucking stands up and tries to spit on the fucking American flag.
Yeah.
I mean, in a goddamn war zone, there's no fucking rules. It's kill or be killed out there, and they're out there trying to make sure that our side doesn't get killed. Guess what? The other side, they have snipers too. I imagine those fucking insurgents that Michael Moore is sitting there mollycoddling and spoon-feeding and fucking breastfeeding. God knows he probably got 5 breasts. I imagine those motherfuckers have their own snipers. But in his eyes, because those are insurgent snipers, they're fucking heroes.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree that we should have been there, but we were there. That's a fact.
Guess
and,
what?
There's... And our people were not, I mean, sniping takes out a single target.
Yeah.
The insurgents put down mask bombs. What was it? What are they called? IEDs.
IEDs. Improvised.
That just kill and mangle random people.
Yeah, okay, a fucking sniper, in order for him to kill somebody, he actually has to be there on the battleground. An IED can be set up fucking 5 days earlier and they'd be 50 fucking miles away from it. Which is more way of a cowardly killing? I am fucking sorry. I am fucking sorry if you're offended by this, but you, just like Michael Moore, can eat a bowl of dicks if you're fucking offended by this. Yeah. That is pussy bullshit. Fucking IEDs. I mean, yeah. Every war has its insurgents. The Revolutionary War had insurgents. We call them our fucking founding fathers.
Yeah.
Okay? So, yes. An insurgency is not necessarily a fucking bad thing. But these motherfuckers setting up these improvised explosive devices and taking out our fucking guys. Fucking bombing public places. Bombing fucking police stations. Bombing fucking hospitals. Modes of fucking transport. That's not fucking brave. That's fucking pussy bullshit cowardice.
Yeah, I wish Michael Moore would go personally tell the insurgents how brave he thinks they are.
Yeah. You know what you think they're so fucking brave? Go over to fucking Afghanistan. Go over to fucking Iraq where all these fucking insurgents are and tell them how much you love them. Just walk right up, drop down on your fucking knees and start sucking their dicks because you love them so much. Guess how long it'll take for you to get fucking beheaded on a goddamn video that shows up on the internet 5 days later.
And it'll still be better than every documentary he's done.
Fuck yeah.
I was thinking earlier, I was like, I think I saw some of his documentaries.
Fahrenheit 9/11, Bowling for Columbine.
I think Fahrenheit 9/11 was the only one I was able to finish. Bowling for Columbine started, and this is before I was even into guns, really. But they just started going on and on and on about gun things. Oh!
You know, I was going to watch Bowling for Columbine, but I had something much better to do that day. I just basically
got a root canal?
Well, I got a root canal after spending 5 hours slamming my dick in a sliding screen door.
There's been so many dumb, I hate now that my eyes are open and I'm not a dumb fuck anymore. I really can't keep up with what any of the celebrities who do things that I like, what they say. Like we saw earlier, Seth Rogen said some dumb comments. I don't even want to look at him because I like some of Seth Rogen's movies. Politically, he's a dumb motherfucker, obviously. Because when you're rich, you can be a dumb motherfucker.
I mean, he's also a gigantic pothead.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a former pothead myself. That's neither here nor there. But how many brilliant things really come out of the mouths of fucking potheads?
Right. Well, even worse, though, I saw comments recently from an interview with Liam Neeson about how America is dumb because we have too many damn guns, like 230 million people.
At two Qui-Gon?
Yeah, and there's 230 million Americans and like 237,000 million guns in America or something like that, and just on and on and on. I'm like, Liam, I really like your movies, but you're really a dumb motherfucker.
You know what the difference between celebrities saying this shit and regular people saying this shit? Somebody sticks a camera in front of their fucking faces.
Yeah.
They've gotten famous, and I mean, they're just like anybody else, but they're using their celebrity to spout off dumb shit, and unfortunately, there's so many dumb motherfuckers out there that will like, ooh, he's famous, I should listen to him. It gives them that fucking opportunity. Well,
this is my what really angers me about all these famous people who are super anti-gun. They don't own guns for protection, but they hire bodyguards that have guns to protect them with their guns.
Well, that makes perfect sense. I mean, it's secondhand gun use.
To a liberal, yes, it does make sense to hire someone to protect you with a gun, but not yourself own a gun. It's okay for someone else to get their hands dirty, but heaven forbid you.
Fuck that.
Yeah. Oh! Ah! Just one of the rant. I saw a comparison of pictures recently from liberal and conservative. One picture was like, how to avoid... And this is an actual like propaganda picture. How to avoid rape if you're a liberal.
Okay.
Piss yourself so you'll turn them off. Yes. So if you're getting raped while getting groceries one day, just pee all over yourself. Because no guy wants to screw you when you've peed yourself. Conservative. Shoot them with your fucking Glock. I mean, nobody wants to kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody wants to be raped either.
No.
And nobody wants to pee themselves.
And guess what about that whole peeing thing? You've heard of Betty Page, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the fucking pinup girl, yeah. Queen of all pinup girls. Yeah, well, her first time, it was either out in Los Angeles or New York. She was out with a friend, and she ended up in a car with four strange guys. And they were all going to rape her. Well, she decided to take the liberal approach on this. She said she was on her period. I'm on my period. You don't want to do that. They're like, fine. They all mouth-fucked her.
Yeah.
She had to give four rape jobs.
That's so terrible.
Yeah, four times raped in the mouth. That's the liberal approach to rape. You know, ooh, I'm nasty. You don't want to stick it in me. No, they'll stick it somewhere else. Because guess what? When the roller coasters broke down, they don't shut down the whole fucking amusement park. Because you know there's motherfuckers standing at the gate screaming the log ride's working. Copyright Ron White. But we got a little bit off topic there. We were bitching about Michael Moore. Ah, fuck him. I don't want to give him any more airtime. He can go to hell. He can.
Oh, my God. I don't like this fan page, but there's a Facebook fan page called Being Liberal. And I decided to go look at it real quick to see. I usually don't get into politics too much, but I'm kind of like, I realize a lot of the anger I have right now, and I wouldn't call myself conservative, but maybe more conservative than in ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like bashing liberals this episode. Like, I just feel like that's what I'm in the mood for now. Because, like the time that we were bashing Rosie O'Donnell for her her quote that she doesn't care if you want to go hunting or go sport shooting. She thinks guns are illegal, and if you own a gun, you should go to jail.
I personally think Rosie O'Donnell and Michael Moore should have to get in the fucking steel cage and fight to the death. Surrounded by snipers.
Oh my God. Here's a quote. That's what middle class economics is. The idea that the country does best when everyone gets their fair shot. Everyone does their fair share and everyone plays by the same set of rules.
That's Isn't that communism?
Communism, yeah.
That's just straight up communism. Oh God, Todd's going to love this episode.
Yeah.
All right, so what do we got coming up next? We're going to go ahead and throw Nutrition Punk in here. Unless you're still wanting to find stuff to Why the fuck is Election Day not a national holiday? You know, that's a damn good point.
Fuck voting?
I mean, seriously, if they want everybody to fucking vote, they need to make it some kind of federal holiday that requires everybody to be off work to do it.
It's federal mandate that you can go vote. If you're at work and you say, I'm going to go vote, they have to let you.
They have to pay you?
I think there's some kind of allowance.
Yeah, because I've worked places where if you wanted to go vote, you had to take the time off without pay.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Make it a paid holiday. If tax cuts for the wealthy would create jobs, then the USA should have the lowest unemployment rate in the world.
We tax the fuck out of the rich.
We tried to.
When I went up to the higher tax bracket last year, year before last, they taxed the holy shit out of me.
You're not rich.
I know! The rich were taxed even more. Like, a rich person is taxed up to 40% of their income.
Yes, and with all the fucking tax loopholes, plenty of fucking billionaires out there don't pay a goddamn dime.
Well, on the retro aspect, the poor don't either.
Look, I look at it this way. Anybody who can exploit tax loopholes to not pay as much or fucking get more back, God bless you, okay? Fat lot of fucking good the money that the government spending's doing us any fucking way, Obamacare.
Fucking that leads us into our next news story.
Fucking Social Security being solvent my ass.
When doing my taxes this year, it actually popped up the question of, do you have insurance?
Yeah, I saw that when I did mine.
Which
I do through my workplace.
Last year, I did have insurance, for the most part.
Interestingly enough, it didn't really ask for proof of insurance.
Yeah,
it did. It just asked me if I had it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they have ways of looking, you know, to see if part of your paycheck's going toward, you know...
Yeah.
Going toward that.
So, I'm going to have to, I guess, go look for healthcare.
Fellow Americans.
So...
If you want to keep your doctor, you can. If you like your doctor, keep your doctor.
Go fuck yourself, Obama. What our next news story?
Actually, we're going to do our nutrition punk segment on a Caesar salad.
Oh, we're not doing the next news story?
I thought we were splicing them all in together.
Okay.
Give us a moment between calling people dickheads.
You're trying to give us a moment?
Yes. Sometimes we need to take it down a notch.
Oh, yeah.
Calm down.
Take it down. Oh, yeah. My blood pressure is actually starting to build.
Feel the rhythms of the universe, man.
Okay. A traditional Caesar salad dressing that just so happens to be paleo, gluten-free, dairy-free, and amazingly delicious. I actually really love Caesar salad. That
looks like a bunch of seeds sitting on a thing of romaine lettuce.
Yeah, I'm not sure what look to be pumpkin seeds are doing. But anyway, Caesar dressing is actually maybe my favorite dressing.
Does it have anything to do with Caesar?
We'll look at that. So this news story comes from Fitness in an Evolutionary Direction.com. What a long, terrible name. I'm sorry, dudes.
Fitness in an Evolutionary Direction.com.
Yeah, whatever.
Boy, that would be really easy to misspell if you're in a hurry.
Yeah, that's terrible. It's back in my quotation marks fitness days, I used to buy low-fat Caesar dressing because...
Like an idiot!
Yeah, because me and Mike are going to eat a whole stick of butter later on in a contest.
Should we do that for the show?
No, we'll take video of it. Because I thought low-fat was healthy. You dumb motherfucker.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I like to mark this episode Triple X. All that cholesterol from eggs and oil surely couldn't be good for me.
Oh, God, the cholesterol myths.
Yeah. After going paleo, however, and getting over my fat phobia, I'm more concerned about maximizing my intake of nutrient-dense, responsibly produced whole foods whilst avoiding industrial-produced food-like products.
I lost 35 pounds on a diet primarily of fatty foods and bacon.
Hells yeah. I.e. low-fat dresser season. Actually, when I was doing Atkins...
Low-fat Caesar
dressing. I think I did some good
Caesar dressing and ranch because it was so low-carb.
When it came time to write Paleo Grilling, A Modern Caveman's Guide to Cooking with Fire...
Grog.
I knew I wanted to include one of my all-time favorite recipes, Caesar salad. You won't find anything low-fat about this recipe... But with pastured eggs, extra virgin olive oil, and those wonderful umami-rich little fish known as sardines, this recipe is going to not only delight your taste buds, but will elevate your health as well.
Note, if you have a copy of Paleo Grilling, you'll notice that I grilled the romaine lettuce before dressing it. The slight char from the grill adds an incredible flavor element to the dish.
Interesting.
But it is by no means necessary. So that's why I'm presenting this version of this recipe here.
Interesting enough, and you guys can't see it, but you'll look in the link, the picture of the olive oil there, the extra virgin olive oil, is actually the same brand I use.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because, well, quick tip, just to sidetrack everyone here for a moment. When you buy olive oil from the store, either A, buy it in a metal canister, or B, buy it in the darkest glass container you can find.
Why is that?
Because olive oil goes rancid when it comes in contact with sunlight. So the ones that are clear containers are probably rotten and you don't want to eat them.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. So that's a dark green glass. It doesn't let in light.
The king of all Caesar salads. Ingredients. One can anchovy fillets packed in olive oil, drained around 6 fillets, 1 clove garlic peeled, 2 large egg yolks, preferably pastured, 2 tablespoons fresh lemon juice, 3/4 teaspoons Dijon mustard, 1/2 cup extra virgin olive oil, fresh ground black pepper, sea salt. For salad and toppings, 2 large heads romaine lettuce, cut lengthwise, extra virgin olive oil, 4 tablespoons roasted pumpkin seeds.
That's the one I don't understand.
The roasted pumpkin seeds?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that being in a Caesar salad.
Me neither. Maybe they're substituting croutons for pumpkin seeds.
That very well could be the case, because I didn't see any croutons in there.
Directions. To make the dressing, add the anchovy fillets, garlic, and a pinch of sea salt to a food processor and pulse until combined. I hate cooking directions that add...
Mix until combined.
Yeah, the add directions that are finicky. I don't like that.
Pulse until it's a paste.
Yeah, cook until done. Well, no shit.
Oh my god. Cook until halfway raw.
Yeah. Turn the food processor on low and add the egg yolks, lemon juice, and Dijon mustard. Add the extra virgin olive oil in a slow drizzle until combined. Man. Add the light olive oil, processing until thick and well combined. If desired, season with additional sea salt, fresh ground black pepper, and lemon juice.
Add sea salt until seasoned.
Yes. If you need to thin the dressing some, if you've over-combined it, mix a small amount of water, till they sign 1 tablespoon at a time, until desired consistency is reached.
Dilute until diluted.
To plate, simply drizzle the romaine lettuce halves with the dressing and top with the roasted pumpkin seeds. Enjoy!
Drizzle until drizzled.
Drizzle until drizzled. Feed fed blog party tip. Nope, not going to read that.
Nope.
And this does come for the people at the longest URL ever!
Yeah. Word to the wise from somebody who tried to get couchpotatomikeexplainsitall.com. Take it down a notch.
That's how you not to do that? Was that me? Who did that?
That was you.
That was you, yeah. Yeah, people get tired typing. They're like, couch potato, Mike, fuck it. Done. Screw you.
Yeah. It's just that many things with no spaces. It's just too easy to hit the wrong thing, especially if you're like me and have fat finger syndrome.
Yeah, that's why I'm happy. The length of survivalpunk.com, I feel, is pretty much in there that acceptable typing length. People get bored. They're like, I'm willing to bet someone bought supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.com.
Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious.
Yes.
But if you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious.
And if they haven't, I'm sure someone just did. If they heard that, they're like, oh shit, let me go look.
Oh, I'm pretty sure Disney owns that domain. Yeah.
So yeah, that looks like a super duper easy recipe for Caesar dressing, which I like. I like Caesar dressing a lot, and that didn't have any milk or cream or anything in it.
No, it managed to avoid all that. Dude, it's paleo.
I know, but how do they make it then?
You just fucking read the fucking recipe! You put it in a food processor and
mix it till combined?
Exactly!
I don't...
See, it says right there, mix until combined.
I need to try this recipe and follow up.
Yes, you should.
Because the picture of it looks like Caesar dressing.
Actually, the picture of it looks, if you want my honest opinion, looks like something you'd find in a dumpster.
Oh! Side note. I had to tell you this earlier, but I'll tell you now live on air, because everyone could have a laugh.
Live on a recorded podcast.
Live on the recorded podcast. So I was watching a show earlier that I know you hate, Tosh.0. And the beginning of it was...
Okay, disclaimer, I don't hate Daniel Tosh, but for some reason that show, we don't click.
It's kind of, yeah. It has moments, and this is one of those moments that I thought was genius. So he gave the entire audience, like Oprah used to, like little snack-sized things of pudding. He's talking about his pudding. He's like, so the Daniel Tosh thing, he's like, you guys helped me out by the joining the Daniel Tosh Book Club. And he's like, last month I did this and this. And he's like, obviously every time I put a book on the Daniel Tosh Bush Club, it goes to like 100 million people. And I make lots of money every time. Yeah. He's like, this month's Daniel Tosh Book Club is natural eating foods. And he's like, it's all about recipes made with human semen. There's a good recipe in there on pudding. And everyone's eyes like... this one fat lady on camera the whole time, and she's just gagging the whole time he's talking. And one guy's like, he took his pudding cups, like dipping it upside down, and like licking the bottom corners and everything.
Oh my god.
Yeah. He's like, they had this quote, it's actually, I guess, a real cookbook about cooking food with semen.
Hmm. Seriously? That's real?
Yes.
Cooking food with semen.
I don't recommend it, though, but that's kind of what the
Caesar sauce looks like. I saw a porn one time that used semen as a creamy Italian salad dressing.
Oh, God. This episode's gone straight to hell.
It really has. What?
Oh, my God. All six listeners are done. Jeff Radke's like, I'm not even going to drink the shots, you guys. I'm done.
They're like, oh, come on, news guys. Cooking with semen.
Classic.
News guys need to knock it off.
Oh, my God. Our next news story.
Yeah, healthcare. It's from the horrible people over at healthcare.gov.
Yeah, which I need to go sign up for.
They are not one of our sponsors.
Just to try and collapse the government, I may try to get on free government healthcare and then go in because I have sniffles and want to be cuddled by the nurse or something.
Hmm.
I don't know. Get on food stamps so I can go to Whole Food. I have $100 in food stamp money. I want the highest sushi grade tuna fish you got, guys.
Oh my god.
You could get like 3 pounds. Give it to me. Swipe.
Oh, I'm so glad you said sushi. I got reminded today of the most racist name I've ever seen for a restaurant.
Oh my god.
I remember seeing the name of this restaurant one time. It was a sushi place called Miso Fishy.
You are terrible.
Yeah. I really am.
Oh my god.
I enjoy it though. I'm good at it.
Yeah. This article comes from The Blaze. What's the name of the story? This extremely concerning way healthcare.gov is using consumers' personal data.
Oh, dear God. The government's health insurance website is quietly sending consumers' personal data to private companies that specialize in advertising and analyzing internet data for performance and marketing, the Associated Press has learned. The scope of what is disclosed or how it might be used was not immediately clear, but it can include age, income, zip code, whether a person smokes, if a person is pregnant. It can include a computer's internet address, which can identify a person's name or address when combined with other information collected by sophisticated online marketing or advertising firms.
The Obama administration...
You scrolled too damn fast. Yeah. You cut off the end of my sentence.
The Obama administration says healthcare.gov's connections to data firms were intended to help improve the consumer experience. Lie. They wanted to make a buck off making a buck.
Yep. The official said outside firms are barred from using the data to further their own business interests.
Except for the ones we're selling your shit to.
Yes. There is no evidence that personal information has been misused. But connections to dozens of third-party tech firms were documented by technology experts who analyzed healthcare.gov and then confirmed by the AP.
That's not proof.
A handful of the companies were also collecting highly specific information. The combination is raising concerns. Leading lawmakers on Tuesday asked the administration to explain how it oversees the data firms to make sure no personal identifiable information is improperly used or shared.
The new information is extremely concerning, not only because it violates the privacy of millions of Americans, but because it may potentially compromise their security. Since Orrin Hatch, R. Utah, and Charles Grassley, R. Iowa, wrote to the administration, created under the president's healthcare law, healthcare.gov is online gateway to government-subsidized private insurance for people who lack coverage on the job. It serves consumers in 37 states, while remaining states operate their own insurance markets. A former White House Chief Information Officer, Teresa Payton, said third-party vendors are a weak link on the website. She questioned both the number of vendors on healthcare.gov and the specific details some of them are collecting. You don't need all that data to do consumer service, said Payton, who served under President George W. Bush. We know hackers are just waiting at the door, salivating to get at all this data. Yeah, especially if we open the fucking door for them.
Yeah.
The privacy concerns come against the backdrop of President Barack Obama's new initiative to protect personal data online bullshit. Separately, the administration is getting the healthcare website ready for the final enrollment of the 2015, aiming to have more than 9 million people signed up on February 15th for subsidized private coverage. Yeah, just in time for the elections next year, huh?
Yeah. Not that he'll be in there, but...
But the Democrats will be...
Yeah, here's a prediction. This one goes out to you, Todd.
Yeah, basically, the Republicans could run with Hitler as their candidate and win this time.
Yes, I predict, and this will make Todd happy and then make him really pissed off. The Republicans, this next year, Republicans will take the presidency.
Well, it is their turn to fuck up the country.
And not get rid of Obamacare.
Oh, burn, sick burn!
They will not get rid of Obamacare. They will change it, call it Republicare. It'll suck just as bad, maybe more, and Republicans will be thankful for it, even though it sucks just as bad. And Todd will say, it's different, it's completely different, blah, blah, blah. It'll still suck just as bad, and it'll have a different name.
Be honest, you make part of this podcast just to piss off my other best friend, don't you?
I like to piss off just about everybody. Oh, I mean, how many times is today have you called me an asshole?
I don't know. Do we have a wrong telling? I mean, if any of you guys out there know how many times I've called him an asshole, please just shoot us an email over at james@survivalpunk.com, hashtag useguys.
Actually, I'm not sure if you ever called me an asshole on air, but if you have, then someone listen to all 44 podcasts.
44?
44, 45.
God, we've been doing this for a while.
And sent me a tally with your shipping address. I'll send you a patch.
Well, use guys, if you're going to do that, you can just skip the first few, you know, the ones where he didn't want cussing on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're trying to be all prim and proper.
The first, like, what, five episodes when we were like, no cussing. And then
after a while,
like,
you just stopped editing out the word fuck.
Yeah.
They're all marked explicit.
It is a Survival Punk podcast. So, another reason to hate healthcare.gov.
Yeah, they're selling your info. They even look like Facebook.
Yeah, they do. I haven't been on it, but
which
I'm
also
have to
sells
be.
Your info.
Yeah. Stupid government.
There's only one way to make sure that your info doesn't get spread out to 1,000 fucking vendors out there, and that's to just go completely off the grid.
Yeah, it is. Terrible, and I hate it, and I'm gonna have to sign up, and it's gonna suck, and hate you, Obama.
But it's mandatory.
I do want to look at which is
for
cheaper.
Your own good.
Which is cheaper to get health care, which right now I can't because I can't afford it. Period. I just can't. Or what is the tax penalty, which I also hate.
I don't even remember what the tax penalty is.
Yeah.
Doesn't bother me. I have insurance.
Yeah. I hate you.
You're an asshole.
Use guys.
Use guys.
What do we got next? Do we have... We are at...
The Permaculture Minute.
40 minutes. Pull a Permaculture Minute.
Okay. This week's Permaculture Minute is brought to you by the Permaculture Playing Card Decks, by our good, very verbose friend, Paul Wheaton. I'm going to pick one at random this week.
While Mike's looking for the cards, I got a shout-out. If you have taken a permaculture design course and you think you understand permaculture like the back of your hand, you are passionate. You wake up breathing permaculture, go to lunch eating permaculture, and go to sleep thinking about permaculture, send me an email, james@strawpunk.com. I want someone to come on the show and explain permaculture like you're explaining it to a three-year-old baby.
I picked a good one.
Go ahead.
The Seven of Clubs.
Seven of Clubs, which is...
P!
P.
P! P is for all practical purposes, sterile. P makes near-perfect garden fertilizer, as long as you don't do it too often in the same spot. These images are based on images in a thread at permies.com. This transformation happened within 24 hours. Before P... Little bitty growth, after pea, big luscious green growth.
Because it's chock full of nitrogen.
Some plants can take urine at full strength while others need it diluted. Aged urine becomes ammonia, which can be used as laundry whitener. Using urine as a fertilizer is considered the best way to resolve the upcoming peak phosphorus crisis. NPK of urine is approximately 12:1:2.
Which is... There we go.
Yeah.
I've actually been using my urine on the homestead to fertilize the fields.
Yeah, that's because you don't have a toilet.
I do have a toilet. It's a composting one.
It's a bucket.
I've been using my poop to compost, too.
Yeah, it's a bucket. You have a bucket.
I have a bucket. It's a wonderful bucket. I like my bucket. Mr. Bucket.
Bucket. And now it is time for our wild edible of the week, which our wild edible of the week this week, and it comes from the Complete Guide to Edible Wild Plants, Mushrooms, Fruits, and Nuts, How to Find, Identify, and Cook Them, by Katie Letcher-Lyle. And, let's see. And this week's wild edible is garlic mustard. Description, habitat, and season. I like that this plant appears early and stays late. It seems to have infiltrated fields, paths, and the edges of woods with its pretty light green scalloped round leaves and that smell and taste faintly of garlic. But this green is rapidly spreading invasive weed that presents a severe threat to native plants and the animals and insects that depend on them. Its habitats are much the same as the white man's toward the Native American population from the beginning of our colonizing here. Garlic mustard, Aleria petiolata, whatever, is present now year-round and indeed remains green and edible all through the winter. In some spots, it has eradicated trillium, wild ginger, trout lilies, wild orchids, Dutchman's breeches, and other plants. Some of these plants are host to butterfly larvae, and so the garlic mustard threatens extinction of those butterflies. The exotic European species was first recorded in 1868 on Long Island and has already pushed south to Virginia and as far west as Kansas and Nebraska. Most sources say that it was introduced as a medicinal as well as a food plant by Central European immigrants. It evidently loves the calcareous soil of Virginia, and it won't grow an acid soil. If you gather it, it's best to pull the plants up by the roots, which is the only way to keep garlic mustard from spreading. Even that looks to me like trying to stop a hole in the dam with your finger. The seeds of garlic mustard can survive forest fires, and they are viable for 5 years after being shed by the plant. You can eradicate it with strong weed killers like Roundup. Why is she talking about killing it? I mean, I know it's an invasive plant, but this is supposed to be about eating this stuff.
Yeah, I don't like that.
What do you got against garlic mustard? It's simply fine in a salad uncooked, but it's better steamed briefly, sprinkled with light vinegar, and tossed with a pat of butter in it. And or a bit of olive oil. Like spinach, it turns slimy if overcooked. The steamed leaves are great, added to a plate of pasta, then tossed. And that has been our wild edible of the week. That's almost as bad as the time I accidentally picked something poisonous.
Yeah. So, apparently, while we're podcasting, the State of the Union was going on.
Oh, I knew.
And
I didn't give a fuck. I can count on no fingers how many times I've ever sat down and watched a State of the Union address.
Yeah, I can't.
I mean, why the fuck do I need to? Todd will just give me the highlights tomorrow.
It seems like some funny memes have popped up.
Oh, God.
That's why this Congress still needs to pass a law that makes sure a woman is paid the same as a man for doing the same work. Really? It's 2015. That shit... What? There's no pay grade difference for a man and a woman.
I mean, not since the whole women's lib thing happened. I mean...
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we're going to get letters. And incidentally, for you out there, a letter is a paper email.
Oh my God. People should send me real fan mail. I want letters in the mail.
Fuck yes. So write a letter, put a U.S. Forever stamp on it, and send it to James at survivalpunk.com.
Yeah, I...
Dead air, dude.
I was trying to think, like, I'm trying to remember what my new address is. I'm like, all right, what is my new
address?
Don't
give your address out.
It's in my emails. Well, actually, right now, it's still the apartment. I need
check
to change
my
it.
Email.
Let's...
Oh, look at that. It's time for Mike's celebrity invite of this week.
Who are we inviting this week?
I'm inviting two people.
Two people.
Yes, Jeff Radke, because you guys out there that listen to the show love him, and us guys in here want him back on the show. I love Jeff Radke. Dude. I'm now friends with him on Facebook, so I want him to come on. But the other person I want to invite on the show is Michael Moore. I fucking dare your fat ass to come on this show. You have an open-ended, open-door invite to come on the Survival Punk podcast any damn time you want to, you fat piece of shit.
That would literally be the shortest, angriest, loudest, yelliest podcast ever.
Yeah, no, that podcast would last 30 seconds. We'd get him on the phone, I'd tell him to suck a bowl of dicks and hang up on him. And then he'd get on fucking news and call me a coward.
He'd be like, well, true story is I actually like a bowl of dicks. It's my favorite food. It's my toppings I put on pizza.
Every Saturday morning, my mother used to make me a big bowl of Dickios. Plastic dick flakes.
We've derailed this episode. Let's wrap it.
So if you want to advertise someplace that matters, if you have anything survival-related, fitness-related, paleo-related, punk-related that you want to sell, drop us a line over at james@survivalpunk.com. We will offer you great rates. Take cash, precious metals. We take meat. We take bitcoins.
As long as you are not a sponsor that is a conflict of interest with another sponsor.
Exactly.
As in, no more coffee. I actually had turned down another coffee sponsor and another bullion sponsor.
Oh, that's a shame.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it happens. But that bullion sponsor and that coffee sponsor, drop a line over at CouchPotatoMike@CouchPotatoMike.com. Huh. And I will offer you great rates.
When's episode 2 coming out?
It's coming out soon. I know I've been saying that for like 3 months now, but it's coming out soon.
It's coming out soon.
Alrighty, and if you want to join...
You'll be lucky if Adam and Eve will sponsor you, and they sponsor everybody.
Well, if I get a sponsor...
In a cardboard box.
If I get a sponsor, I'll start making 2 episodes a fucking week.
Yeah.
And if you want to join an army that matters, an army that'll have... Well, I don't know if we'll have snipers or not. But if you're a sniper and you want to join up, just remember that the Survival Punk Army wants you. Tell them a little about it, Survival Punk J.
Survival Punk Army! You get exclusive discounts to 11 vendors, including Mai Tai Coffee, including, Well Food Co.
You just lost your shit there, didn't you?
Yeah, including Well Food Co., including Mai Tai Coffee, including Survival Gear Bags? I gotta check. I know Kelly said he was gonna sell the store. You get free ebooks from.
Didn't
some
we
great
used to
folks.
Advertise for them?
Well, yeah, then he was gonna sell the store. And
Has he not sold it?
I haven't heard from him in a while.
Hmm.
You get 2 free ebooks. You get exclusive content. You get all of these wonderful zip. You get all of these podcasts in convenient zip files of 10 episodes for your listening pleasure. I've heard
that's
people...
over 4 zip files now.
Yes. And that's a lot of podcasts.
We've been doing this since it was 2 zip files.
Which, oh my God, it would be 40 hours worth of listening pleasure at least.
At least.
We rarely ever have an episode under an hour.
This one actually might be, though.
Yeah, this one might be wrapped up under an hour, the all-nude episode. Well, I mean...
The all-nude episode?
Yeah.
We are not nude. I would not be in this room with this purple-headed warrior.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, it's the all-nude episode... no main topic, and our blood pressure was very high from yelling at Michael Moore for being an ass clown.
You know, call a fucking spade a spade, like I said earlier. This is not an all-news episode. This is an all-gripe episode.
This is an all-liberals-are-dumb episode.
I even found problems with your Caesar salad thing. Oh, yeah, and we didn't talk about same plate.
Last minute, we will have this episode an hour or more. So, if you are a picky eater, like myself, if you have specific eating patterns, so if you're paleo, if you're primal, if you're, for God's sake, vegan, and you're looking to date someone, you know how this could be a problem. You go on a date, and someone's like, if you're paleo like me, and someone's downing corn dogs, ho-hos, and pizza, it's turn off. You're not really interested, because you know they're sucking down poisons, and you... It's an issue. You don't really want to date someone when they're eating shit like that.
And that's why we stopped dating.
And that's why we stopped dating. As your wife evilizes. It's an issue, you know. You're trying to find someone to eat similar to you, you know, to have that sort of common ground, you know, to break the ice that way. And there's not been an option on dating sites. You can't go to OkCupid and say, I'm looking for a paleo girl. There's just no... That's not one of the options in the eating. It's just not there. So, Jeff Nimoy, famous voice actor, creator of the awesome show Digimon, created the website sameplate.com.
Live long and prosper.
Which is where you can find people based on eating preferences. It's a really great site. Good layout. Good, you know, good algorithms and stuff. It needs more people, though, and this is where you listeners come in handy. If you're single and you have certain eating preferences, paleo, low carb, which is another one. I mean, you just don't want to be around the bad food. It's like any addiction.
I can see problems with that, though.
Why?
I mean, what happens? I mean, if you know, like, if it's all about, you know, your diet. I mean, there could be, like, you know, Jewish paleo and Nazi paleo.
No.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, it helps you find people based on eating preferences, you know, and food, dietary restrictions, you know, like people are intolerant of this or that. So you can help, they can find people with similar eating preferences so you can automatically start conversations, go on dates with people, knowing that, you know, they're not going to look at you like you're a mad. I've gone on dates. I've gone on dates where. Sometimes in restaurants, I'll ask a million questions, and I'll have the waiters customize the food to my purposes. Removing this, adding that. You've seen me do this.
Meanwhile, the girl's sitting there, God, he is a picky bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I mean, even you, like, you've seen me do this at restaurants.
Yeah.
We're all like, I'll order something, and then I'll change it so much, it really doesn't resemble the original dish at all.
My wife does that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she doesn't do it all paleo. She just likes to screw with Mexican waiters.
She just wants cheese on everything.
There's not a problem with wanting cheese on everything.
I just want cheese on everything.
You know cheese acts like heroin in your brain?
So does wheat.
Wheat?
Wheat is like 300 times more addictive than heroin.
Poor Paul Wheaton.
Yeah.
Hey, Paul Wheaton, how the hell are you?
Yeah. So yeah, sameplate.com. Go join up if you... have picky eatery in you, and you're looking to date.
What if you just have a texture problem? They got a category for that?
Possibly. Mm. You're married, so it doesn't matter. But if you do have texture problems, I'm just saying,
I'm not the only motherfucker out there with texture problems.
You're just weird.
I'm not fucking weird.
Fucking weird. And on that bombshell,
my wife is fucking weird. You see what I did there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll about wrap it up for this, one of my new fucking favorite episodes of SurvivalPunk.com.
Yeah.
Honestly, this is in my top three.
The episode where our iTunes subscribers go to zero.
Are you kidding? This will be the one that actually pushes into double digits.
Yeah. I haven't tracked the subscribers in a long time.
I know we had some. We've got listeners out there, damn it.
Obviously,
we're just screaming in my bedroom.
When I put the contest up to give away the SOE belt, we had people enter that. So someone won the belt.
Which one of the three won it?
The guy's name was Weondi.
Weondi?
I guess it's his last name. I don't know.
Go slap your mother for me, Weondi, for naming you that. Yeah, I've been in a mood today. What are you doing? I thought we were wrapping the show up.
Yeah, go ahead and wrap it up. I'm looking at how many listeners we have.
Well, I guess that'll do it here for us, the good folks over at Survival Punk Podcast on the survivalpunk.com website. For all of our loyal listeners out there, this is Couch Potato Mike.
And this is James.
And remember, it is just sometimes really good and necessary to let off a little steam and tell people to eat a bowl of dicks.
If you're Michael Moore, eat a bowl of dicks.
Yeah, use guys. Tell Michael Moore to eat a bowl of dicks.
Yeah, way to survive, use guys.
Use guys! Love you, too.